Come be a part of the Feelings Club. Share your feelings too.
Okay, this is, I always mess up this part because I never know the episode number.
I know, we're on 11. I'm pretty sure we're on 11.
11?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I mean, I can look in my podcast and tell you.
Wait, now I've got to find out for sure. Hold on.
Well, I can find out too.
Let's see who does it the fastest.
We've released 10.
Okay. And we've skipped a few weeks, a couple weeks. So we have some catching up to do.
We too. You ready to catch up?
Let's catch up. Let's do this.
Okay.
So what have you been up to? Let's start there.
I feel like we need to welcome people back, or like I need to welcome back because I feel like I've been gone for so long. So let's do that. Can we do that?
Well, we've been gone the same amount of time. I didn't do any solo episodes while you were gone either.
I know, but I've been like physically in another space.
You've been physically, yeah.
And you're physically in another space. So let's, I feel like we should do like a, we're back. You're welcome.
Dwight, if you could like insert something amazing here, that would be great.
I would like it to be Poltergeist. We're back, like in a real creepy way.
Or also like when Michael Jordan came out of retirement and they were like writing the press release. I'm saying this only because I just watched the series that's on Netflix about him right now. It's so good, by the way.
Oh, really?
But yeah, and his manager was like trying to write the press release and he wrote it over and over again. And Michael was like, no, no. And then he was like, well, then you write it. And then he just wrote, I'm back. That was the press release. I thought it was pretty good.
That's how I feel.
We're back.
We're back.
I'm back.
So happy to be back after my workcation, which is what I'm calling when you go to another state and then work the whole damn time.
You just keep working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Workcation.
And you took a workcation in New Mexico?
Mm-hmm. We did. We went to the
favorite places, if not your favorite place.
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite places. And I had some stuff rip open inside of me, like we always want to happen on a work vacation. Mm-hmm. And now I'm back and it feels really good to be home, actually. So
good.
Yeah, totally good. We adopted a baby mouse for a day and it was a lot of work. And I've since learned that it's like a rite of passage for like rural parents to like everyone I've talked to who's a parent who grew up in a rural or raised kids in a rural area. They've all, oh yeah, we adopted a mice. Oh yeah, we had 3 blind mice. Like, why didn't anybody tell me?
3 blind mice.
That's what my friend said. Oh yeah, we had 3 blind mice. And then they took it to an animal sanctuary and they're like they nursed them around the clock for a week, like every 2 hours, fed them an eyedropper with like formula for a week. And then they took them to an animal sanctuary and they were feeding them to the snakes.
Well, yeah, because that's what you do with mice.
That's what you do with baby mice. But it was like, they're like, oh, fuck me.
Wow.
But everybody learns that lesson. So we learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. You found someone to adopt this mouse before you came home?
Sure, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, long live Carrot.
Long live Carrot Jr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace to you, Carrot Jr. And what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, so much. Just so much has happened. Well, let's see. Okay. I took a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and I went to California because his younger brother got married. Awesome. And I have a new sister-in-law.
Chloe.
And then, as you know, we stopped in Taos for a couple nights to hang out with you guys. Mm-hmm. And the road trip was wonderful. It was mucho fantastic until about an hour before we got home when Kevin and I got into a car accident in my brand new car. That's right. New car. Not a virgin anymore. I just took the cherry right out of that car. Yeah, it was really sad. It took me a few days of grieving, but it's fine. It's just a car.
It's just a car.
I think I'm going to get it back tomorrow.
Sweet.
So
sweet. It's
being fixed.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. We hit a wild boar in the middle of a dark, dark road. A dark, darkly colored boar on a dark road. Everyone that has been through this experience has told us it could have been so much worse. I guess when you try to avoid a boar in the middle of the road, that's when you get into trouble, like hitting oncoming traffic or running off the road or things like that.
Yeah.
It feels weird to say this, but luckily we hit this boar just straight on and it didn't budge. It didn't move. It made a really big sound. And then the AC stopped working and it was sad. It's all right.
Yeah. I'm so sorry you went through that. Scary.
Yeah. But everything's fine. Mm-hmm. What else?
So you killed a pig.
Killed a pig. We just moved.
Awesome.
So we're in what used to be our rent house. We're now living there. And my tenants will move into our condo where we used to live on August 1st. So that is very exciting.
Very exciting.
When she signed the lease, it was just the single girl. And then she adopted a dog, and I'm very happy for her. And then she just emailed me the other day and said that her and her boyfriend have decided to move in together. So now it'll be the three of them.
How wonderful.
It's great news. I'm really happy for her. Oh. I don't really know her very well, but she seems like a really sweet girl. So
that's
excited
awesome.
To continue my landladyship.
I think you need like a banner and a scepter.
Yeah.
For bestowing upon your your landladyship. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And so just to recap, are there any ghosts in the new house or are we good?
Not that I know of. I think we're good. You know, it was built in the 80s, so not a lot's happened since then.
So it would just be like Madonna fan ghosts or like...
There is a giant spider that lives in the corner of the garage.
Oh.
Pest control comes tomorrow.
To deal with the spider?
Mm-hmm. I named him Pete. we've encountered him three times now. He just kind of stays in the same area of the garage. Mm.
When I lived in Switzerland, I had a giant spider that lived in our basement, but he didn't really bother us. Or she and my cleaning lady would come and scream at me in French, "It's necessary to use the chemicals." I'd be like, "No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. He's not hurting anybody." And she would refuse to go down there until I killed the damn spider.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily want Pete to die. It's just, we're just due for pest control. We're just due.
Yeah, so. It's nice to get things taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting things taken care of left and right. And I'm kind of feeling a little overwhelmed, but it's just like one thing at a time, one day at a time, you know?
Yeah.
I woke up super early this morning. I woke up at 5:30 this morning.
Oh my God, Patricia.
Well, I don't know why. Just like my eyes popped open and then my brain started going.
Because
just of all the things that are on my to-do list, so...
Yeah. Just side note, people who have perfectionist tendencies find that moving can be incredibly like stressful. I mean, everybody finds that it's stressful, but for people who are used to having such organized surroundings, I know that moving can be like so fucking difficult. And then impulse is just to like unpack until it's done.
Until it's absolutely done and perfect.
Until it's perfect. And then you're just like fucking exhausted. And I mean, like, that's one way to look at it or go through it. But just like knowing that, like, this might be something that my mind is like, fuck.
Yeah, I feel like that is normally me. And I'm taking this one a lot easier than I have past moves. And maybe because of the ongoing projects that are going on in the house. That
totally.
Like I know that I will not have a fully functioning kitchen until the first or second week of September.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in trying to get that space perfect. And there's just so many missing parts.
Yeah.
So I'm
kind of like, lets you off the hook, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So like, I don't have to do everything right now because I can't.
Good. Perfect.
Yeah. It's all good.
Let's see. Yep.
I'm writing some new music.
You are?
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
What? For Wind in the Wave? Or for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. For Wind in the Wave.
Oh.
Yeah, we are like 7 songs into our new record.
Fantastic.
So I have everything I need for 2. I need to write lyrics to the last 2. And I need to write a melody and lyrics for this other one. So we have 3 tracks that are just waiting to be finished, and that will make 10.
Wow.
I know.
What?
I know. So we're getting really close. And Dwight's already in the studio working on his own, like on drum, mm-hmm. like on real drums and working up the tracks and stuff. So like, we're getting there.
What are some of the themes coming off this album?
Ooh. You know, I'm actually trying to find some more joy in my lyrics these days, which is interesting to try to do during a time like this also. But I think in most cases, even when shit around you is terrible and it sucks, I think it is still possible to find joy.
Mm-hmm.
I say that, but you know, I can only speak from my own experiences and perspective, but
yeah.
So yeah, I'm digging a little deeper and I'm like using some muscles I haven't used very much in the past to find some joy.
Like your vaginal canal or your diet.
My vaginal canal. I'm talking to my uterus and
your diaphragm
and my pelvic floor. Mm. We're having lots of conversations. And
you're like, what do you say?
What do you think down there? What do you guys think?
You know, my youngest, who's a girl, says, my vagina says he's hungry.
Your youngest has said lots of things about her vagina. At one point, she told me, I can't remember if it was a mouse or a frog or something. She was like, yeah, and he lives inside my vagina, and he sits on his couch, and like there was a living room for a little animal in her vagina. It was very interesting.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I'll have to
mm-hmm.
set out some food or something. I'm really excited to hear your music whenever you guys are ready to.
Me too. And I'm so excited to hear it too. And we have this whole other album done, the one we did with Kelly Jones, Stereophonics. So that one's completely done now. We even have the masters.
Hmm.
So we're starting to talk about like how we want to release that and how that's even possible and how are we going to take photos together or separately apart and all these weird things. So I think actually having that whole project done right now is like lessening the pressure that I usually put on myself at a time like this when I am like, you know, writing and it's like, I know I'll get to it. Mm. There's just like a lot of things going on and
it's just a lot of things going on. It's true. There's a lot going on. And I feel like we're almost at the point where we're reaching a new normal. People are kind of settling into this is kind of a new normal. And so it's time. Mm-hmm. For some people, it feels like it's time to start moving again. Like, okay, we're going to start doing stuff again instead of just like being in reactionary mode. Let's just start moving. So someone I know is in their first ever relationship, like fell in love in the time of Rona. And I'm like, that's amazing.
First ever.
It's a young person. But
I was like, is this person 18 years old?
I mean, they're a young person, but first ever. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Find
that's
the love great. In the time of Rona. Yeah,
it makes
me so happy.
I have a friend that's going on a date tonight for the first time in a while.
I mean.
And they're just going to meet outside and chat.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Love in the time of Rona. I love it. Is this a mailbag episode?
This is let's catch up.
Yeah.
What's new in life? How are we feeling? slash we have a couple of voicemails and an email sitting in there. So
amazing.
Yeah. I'm really excited that we have voicemails after this little break that we've had.
I never knew how much you loved voicemails until we started doing this.
And I love them.
You love them.
Yeah. It's different. I mean, I love emails too. Don't get me wrong. If you don't feel up to sending a voicemail, I love emails. But the voicemails, like, there's an element of, like, you get to hear their voice. If they're feeling feelings, you might get to hear some feelings. Mm-hmm. And I am privileged, I think. Mm-hmm. Someone sent me a message on Instagram the other day because, well, this Saturday, August 1st, just a little quick little plug. Dwight and I have a live stream concert. And we have two shows at 3 and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But this person sent me a note and they're having a really rough time. And they were like, hey, I wonder if you could, you know, give a shout out to my wife. We're going to be watching at the 7 p.m. show. And here's her name. And here's what we've been going through right now. And I'm just like, yeah, of course I will. That's of course. So I always like to, fulfill those requests for longtime fans and listeners. And but they were like, this must be really weird that people come to you with their stuff on social media. And I'm like, I think I feel honored when people come to me with their stuff. Mm-hmm. As long as people aren't taking their stuff and putting it on me to resolve.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I'm happy to be a place where people feel comforted. Mm-hmm. You know, with my music or with this podcast or mm-hmm. whatever.
You remember what we call that? A soft place to land.
Soft place to land. I want to be your soft place to land.
Oh, it's sweet.
Yeah, maybe I'll finally squeeze that lyric maybe. Into this new record.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Keep working on it. If not, you could just put my name in every song. That always works too.
You already have a name in one of my songs.
With this band?
Not with this band, it's true.
Not with either of the current bands.
It's never enough.
You want to get into some voicemails or emails?
Yeah, let's do the email that we have sitting in here.
I think we have actually the one from Jenny too about masks. It's in our notes.
Oh, did I already move it over?
Yes.
Let me see.
And I don't think we touched on it.
Are you sure?
No.
I think we did because I remember you talking about that you wanted me to answer it. You were curious about my thoughts because you referenced like being like a kid. Do you remember? Where you're like, that's not fair, you know, and it kind of reminded you of like being a kid.
See, I thought that was the other Jenny email that asked about, it was not about masks. It was just like, I see my neighbors not following.
Okay. And you might be right.
She sent us another one. Or
you're totally right.
This is another one.
You're totally right. Okay. Jenny Remington. Can I say that?
Sure, you can say her
name.
Can
I say that she's a career and life coach?
Yes, I think you can. She put it there.
We have talked about that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so Jenny says, we see that the COVID-19 numbers are going up in record numbers, and we see reports that Texas is not wearing masks and are sometimes violently opposed to it. Sorry to put you on the spot, but as the resident's Texas spokeswoman, what is going on here, winky face? Why are Texans resisting wearing masks? Do masks make us feel vulnerable, weak?
Mm.
Yeah, interesting question.
I mean, I have to say, like, side note, as a child who grew up having cold sores, that masks would have been, like, an answered prayer for me, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. when you have a cold sore and you're a young girl, like a teenage girl, there's no hiding it. And then like your face is everybody's joke.
Right.
You know? So just side note, like, gosh.
Kevin is actually prone to cold sores. Like, he gets them like once a month pretty regularly and has for several years. And he had one last week. And he just started going back to work last week. And he was like, I'm so glad I get to wear a mask.
No shit. I am sure that there are thousands of people like just across Texas who are like, what? Like, finally, my face is in other people's business just for a little while. But
I kind of feel like it's less of a, I mean, I don't really know, but I'm going to, just knowing Texans, because I've lived here my whole life, I feel like it's less of a, like, I feel weak thing and more of a, like, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. But I wonder how much of that is rooted in weakness is vulnerability is losing the battle, you know, like, or losing the pissing contest, you know, like if you show weakness in a battle, you're as good as dead.
Right.
Kind of mentality.
If you just go along and do, if, you know, like maybe you're a sheep.
Yeah.
You're not a leader. You're,
yeah. And it shows the that you're vulnerable and you can be controlled.
Yeah.
I don't know. My sister told, my sister works with Moms Demand Action, which is the gun, gun safety group part, gun advocacy group, gun control advocacy group. And she said gun sales have gone through the roof in the U.S. since pandemic started because people are people. But I just have to say, like, that scares me.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a correlation between people who don't wear masks and people who buy buy guns when there's an illness outbreak.
Possibly. Yeah. We do have a friend. I mean, we live in Texas, so we're going to have friends that, like, have guns and want to own them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Right.
Politically or, you know, but I – Kevin did tell me the other day, we do have a friend that has a new gun. And then I was like, oh, interesting. Let me guess, it shoots bullets. It was kind of like poking fun. And he was like, yeah, but they can't buy any bullets. I was like, why? He's because they're out.
Yep. That's what I've heard too. The ammunition people have, like, stocked up, which is fucking scary, you guys.
Yeah, I was like, what? Why? And he was like, I don't know. I guess, like, people need to, like, people want to protect themselves, or I don't know. People are scared. I think that's rooted in fear.
Yeah, it's the same as the mask. People are rooted in fear that our democracy is falling apart. The world is falling apart. Systems are falling apart. So people, a way people feel more secure is stocking up on ammunition. But that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm stopping up on masks. Like, that's what we've been doing.
the weapon, I was thinking, because we're moving, and I was, like, moving all the stuff, and the weapon of choice that my husband has is a golf club, which is very fitting. He's been golfing his whole life.
It is very fitting for him.
He has a golf club next to the bed. That's his.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think it's sweet.
I mean, I guess my sister's husband has, they moved into a house with a gun safe, and he's not a gun person, and he has his trombone in the gun, in the gun safe.
Awesome. Which, wait, that's a big gun safe.
It's a huge gun safe. It's like a walk-in closet. Yeah.
Yeah, a trombone is big.
Yeah, it's like a walk-in closet.
It's not like for a handgun. Wow, that's crazy.
No. Keep the handguns by the bed. You know.
Yeah.
I got some, just back to masks, I got some amazing masks off Etsy. They come with filters that you can take in and out. They have, like, adjustable elastic on the ears. The kids love them. They'll wear them easily. They're easy to wash. Love it. It's just so easy. We just keep like a box in the car, like a basket full of baskets in the car.
Nice.
Yeah. But if my,
can you wash them too?
Yeah. You wash them. We just hang them up to dry. Yeah. And I usually put them out in the sun, 'cause, like, cloth diapers, the sun is a good way to sterilize things or sanitize. Maybe I should look into the difference between those words.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. Yeah, they're really easy.
I feel like one of my next social posts is going to be, like, all the different pictures, just different pictures of all the masks that have been gifted to me over the last few months.
Have you gotten more? Like,
I've gotten so many. Like, well, I just got one from Renee the other day.
Oh, yeah.
My mom has made a few. Like, I think my aunt made a few. My mother-in-law made a few. I just have so many. Mm-hmm. We have, like, a Crown Royal one. And, like, a Superwoman one. Wait, is it made of a
Crown Royal bag?
Uh-huh. Yeah. A Superwoman one. Like, just all kinds of different.
Yeah, awesome.
Very interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have tons. And I actually love the ones that your mother-in-law handed down to us. The like,
oh, the ones that you can use as like a headscarf,
yeah,
too?
Because yeah, I like to wear them as a headscarf. And Prim slept in one as a tube top the other night. So thanks, Barbara.
Super cute.
Super cute. Thank you, Jenny, for writing in with your questions. I hope that your neighbors are behaving better. And Texas figures the fuck out.
Yeah. Should I read this other email that I have in here from Sam? It's been sitting here for a while.
Sure.
And I feel like I don't want Sam to get upset. I have it here. You know, like it's been sitting here for a while and I'm like, oh, we'll get to this. And I'm like,
we should get to that.
I was thinking that I would squeeze it in a like a particular episode, but I feel like it's been long enough, mm-hmm. Sam, and I'm gonna read this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the subject of this email is how to manage and cope with wife's depression. First, I love that you are doing this. So amazing. I'm wondering about something. I know everyone takes their own mental journey, and I know most choose a partner to go on. Oh. And I know most choose a partner to go on our life journey. I chose a wonderful wife. She is the most loyal person I have ever met. We've been together for about 11 years now, almost 6 married. She even got up on stage with you at a show in Denver, the Walnut Room, and declared her love for me. I do not remember this. Our relationship has always been simply amazing. The Colorado dream, dogs and all. A couple of years ago, I noticed she started to change. Things weren't as fun for her as they normally were. I started to adventure out and started a new hobby of mountain biking. This was something she did not want to be a part of, but it allowed me to still get out in the mountains without feeling guilty because she didn't want to come. She just wanted to stay home. In September, she had a breakdown. I know what that's like. She has a high-stress job, and she needed to take a break. She ended up in an outpatient program for depression and anxiety, something she has always struggled with. She spent 6 weeks at this program. Over Christmas, we headed back to Chicago, where my family is. Things were great. My wife was back, but as soon as we got back to Denver, her depression set in. We started couples therapy, and I felt like that made things worse. Currently, she is seeing a therapist and is receiving multiple therapies weekly, including brain mapping. Can you tell us about that later, Sally?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I hate to say this, but she is not my wife. She is just a small amount of the person I used to know. I'm heartbroken. I feel like her parent at this point and not a partner. I don't know how to support her. I just want to tell her to put her big girl pants on and suck it up. But I know that's not how this works. I was raised with a single mom who said things like that to me all the time. I believe it has created a resilience in me, but it doesn't work the same for her. Her family has a history of depression and anxiety. I guess I'm reaching out because I want to be there for her, but I want her to be here for me too. I've had an emotional year with switching teaching jobs and grade levels and now trying to online teach, dealing with past issues of not being able to have a baby for us. My dog, who is my fur baby, my soul, is 14 and fading. I feel lonely, like I have lost my person, and soon I will lose my best bud. It's a lot. So how do I navigate? How do I get her back? Will I ever get her back? Do I push her to continue forward? Do I let her navigate on her own? And why can't dogs live forever? Ugh, I feel you. This felt incredible to get this out. Thank you. And thank you for letting all the emotions hang out. What an awesome email.
Seriously.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Oh, Sam. Wish you were here for some cuddle huggles. Yeah. Where do we begin? First, Sam, if you do not have a person, a therapist, life coach, kind of person, sober living coach, whoever, like somebody in your corner, Sam, bruh, sister? I don't know.
I think sister.
Sister.
Or maybe bra. I don't know.
I don't know. Who?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Person. Sam, person. Get yourself a person. Even if it's online text therapy, online video therapy, phone therapy, teletherapy. Get yourself a person because it's not all in her court. And living with someone who has mental health struggles is fucking hard. It's like, and what they are describing seems kind of like living with someone who has an addiction. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes the person is your person and sometimes they're not your person. You know, like who is this person in bed with me one day and the next day, like, oh, my person's here. Like, I hope it never changes. Mm-hmm. And the lack of control around that, the lack of like being able to know what to expect, the lack of like, should I be hopeful? Should I be despairing? Should I move on? Should I stay?
Should I help? Can I even help?
Should I help? Should I shut the fuck up? Should I, you know, encourage them to quit their job? Do we need to move? Like, there's a lot of variables in a situation like this. And I think having someone that you can vent to and talk to about this every week who is not your partner, who is not the person struggling with the mental health difficulties, is essential. There's a lot of really good resources out there through NAMI, N-A-M-I, I think it's the National Association for Mental Illness. They're kind of like Al-Anon, where they support the people who are supporting the people who are ill. Because it's very difficult to be married to someone, a parent of someone, related to someone who's struggling and you can't control it.
Yeah, it's very difficult to be married. and then add on all the things. And then just add on all the things, you know?
And then, well, totally. It's all difficult. And I think everyone needs to be in therapy. We talk about this all the time.
Yes.
But Sam, particularly, Sam, find a person. If you don't already have a person, please.
Yeah. Even if Sam can't afford a therapist, like you said, just like someone in your corner that you can vent to, that you feel comfortable letting it all out. Even the stuff that you think makes you feel or sound like a bad person or, you know, like somewhere where you feel safe to like just let it all out, because sometimes all you need is to say it.
Totally. We've talked about this before too. I think like right brain, left brain kind of stuff. Like when you're caught up in these big emotions, like feeling hopeless, feeling helpless, feeling despair, it's so hard to then switch over to the logical part of your brain. You just get lost in this emotional stuff. And just being able to complete the cycle of speaking the emotions allows you to then transition into the logical side of your brain. And honestly, it sounds like a lot of what Sam's dealing with is grief. Grief because dogs don't live forever. Grief because their person is no longer the person they were. And that's just something they have to deal with, you know? And I was talking to a client about this today. Like, grief is not just something like that comes and goes, like, in an instant. Grief is a long process of ups and downs and healing and setbacks. But you have to be able to admit the grief and sit with the grief in order to move through it. And if you're resisting the grief, it's just going to stay there longer.
It's just going to hang out.
It's just going to be more present. So find some resources, Sam, and for yourself, not just your partner, right? Like, let your partner navigate their health journey and support them, but also find resources for yourself. You do not have to pull up your pants and deal.
That might be put your big girl pants on.
Put your big girl pants on.
I mean, that might be, I mean, Sam finding their own resources and their own support might be the best thing that they can do for their partner. You know, maybe their partner doesn't need them managing their journey and managing their health.
Yeah.
Maybe that's putting too much of a strain on the relationship too, like added. yeah. the feeling of having that responsibility.
I mean, it certainly puts a strain on relationships when someone is ill, whether it's your body or your brain or both. Let's see. I was looking at brain mapping because I don't do brain mapping.
Oh, yeah.
Brain mapping is a technology that pinpoints which part of the brains are not functioning well. So
maybe they wear one of those things.
So it helps. So it sounds like you're doing neurofeedback while wearing an EEG or having an EEG done, or and neurofeedback is, wait, let me look it up so that I say it the correct way. Neurofeedback is like,
is that hat that like has all the wires coming out of it?
Hold on.
Okay.
Guess I don't want to say the wrong thing. So it's the same as biofeedback. It's a therapeutic intervention that provides immediate feedback from a computer-based program that assesses a client's brainwave activity.
So cool.
So then it says the program uses sound or visual signals to reorganize or retrain the brain signals. So it's a tool, right? It's like a medical intervention that helps you be more in charge of how your emotions are being processed, how your brain is working, and less like a victim of old patterns.
Mm-hmm.
It made me wonder, too, if Sam's partner was also getting ECT electroconductive therapy, which is like the in the old times, it looked like being electrocuted different sides of your brain. But now it's not nearly as traumatic. It's just like mild electrical currents running through your brain to kind of reset things when people have severe mental illness. But that is something that still happens, even though it sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It is still a way to treat severe mental illness, severe depression. So, so look up NAMI, NAMI, and get yourself a person, Sam, and write back to us and tell us how things are going.
Yay, science!
Yeah, and why can't dogs live forever? I don't know. This is not something I'm looking forward to.
I know.
It's a deep fear.
I know.
Didn't used to be, and now it is.
Well, you used to not like pets.
'Cause love. I used to not really be a pet person, but, you know, but now I have a pet. Now I get it.
Now you have
a pet. I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess it is kind of a mailbag episode.
You mean a Sleepless in Seattle episode?
Sure.
Okay.
A Sleepless in Seattle episode.
Sweet.
Should I do another? Well, let's see. Okay. Since we're on this pet thing, I have an email about a pet. So I'm going to read that one. I feel like it's on topic. This is from Chris Lester. Hi, Patty and Sally. Big fan of Patty and Dwight from The Wind and the Wave. Really enjoying the Feelings Club podcast thus far and looking forward to more. I've been wanting to write in for a while now, but I suppose it took a big event to give me that push. My wife, Sherry, and I have had our Beagle Bentley for over 14 years. This past Monday, we had to make the hardest decision ever to take him into the vet and have him put down. He stopped eating, drinking, and was having troubles even walking and going to the bathroom. We all kind of knew it was coming. You can imagine having to make that call and bringing him to the vet and confirming your suspicions. They said we could bring him back later in the day. We brought him home for a few hours to spend the last few hours with him. We took pics. We hugged on him and just wanted him to know we'd be there for him just as he always was there for us all these years. My daughter Bella said her goodbyes and said she wanted to go to his appointment. She's only 5, and I'm not sure if even 5-year-old Chris would have wanted to go. He's been in her life since she was born. She's a strong kid, that's for sure. After it was over, a wave of emotions just hit. I don't think I've had so many feelings happen in such a short amount of time. Sadness, grief, mourning. I know that he's no longer suffering or in any pain. You don't realize how much your pet means to you until things like this happen. Over 14 years, you get all the memories that you had with them. I know some would maybe just disregard it and be like, he's just a dog and move on with life. They are more than that, though. They are companions, friends, and members of the family. It's been a few days, and the little things you'd never think of, you notice more and more. Certain spots they'd sleep in, or the pitter-patter of their paws, even the bowls they eat and drink out of. I know my wife, Sherry, says we could welcome another animal into our lives. It's a process, I know, getting through all these feelings. I just miss my buddy. Thanks for listening and letting me vent it all out. Hope you have continued success, and thanks for having an avenue for people to express themselves. And he attached some pics of Bentley. Oh. He looks so cute.
Oh, precious. My goodness. Yeah. I don't want to see them.
Oh,
okay. This is how I avoid. That's how I deal with grief. I just avoid it. So sweet. I'm so sorry for your loss, Chris.
That sucks. I'm just going to make a confession here, because I really used to be one of those people. Like, there was really a time when it was actually my old manager, and his family dog passed away. And I literally said that out loud. Like, he wasn't responding to any emails or anything this day, and I didn't know what had happened. And then Dwight reached out, and this was several years ago, and he was like, well, he's not in the office today because his dog died. And I was like, yeah, but it's just a dog. Can't you just answer your phone? I don't understand. And I didn't understand. And like, I feel bad. I don't think I ever said that like out loud to my manager. Like, that would have been insensitive. I don't think I ever said that out loud to anybody. I just like kind of said it like, it's just a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally didn't get it at all.
Now you get it.
Not that I haven't ever had a dog before, but it's so different having a dog as a kid and having a dog as an adult.
Yes, it's different having it as an adult. Choosing,
for sure, like choosing this animal, bringing them into your home, really being the one that's responsible for their life and quality of life. And it's just like a totally different bond.
Yeah, and now you're like, oh. It goes deep.
I was one of those people. It goes deep. It's so deep.
I think that, I mean, growth is totally normal, and forgiving yourself is totally allowed. And we don't know what we don't know until we know it, right? Like, that's the thing about being young or immature or inexperienced or not having experienced things is you don't know what you don't know. And then perspective.
And then... Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
But even if you don't, like, I feel like that, like, looking back on that, I feel like there was, even if I didn't understand, there's still room for, even if you don't understand someone else's reaction or feelings or whatever, there's still room to let them have that, you know, and not place judgment on it. So,
but wait, time out, because this is
time out.
The Patty who was judgmental. That Patty was also the Patty who never let herself have a break, who never took a day off work, who definitely would not have missed a whole day's work for any reason.
Okay, yeah, you make a good point.
Yeah, so
maybe if you're feeling unforgiving or if you're feeling judgmental about other people in your life, maybe like turn it inward.
Yes. It's okay. This is that Buddhist phrase we use, just like me. That, you know, so in the case of your manager, like, what would you say? Like, he's being so selfish, just like me, or he's being dramatic, just like me. Or he has such big needs, just like me. And then therein lies the like, oh, I'm allowed to take up more space too.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to be flawed and human and have needs. It's so nice to have needs. Just do it.
Yeah. Just let go.
Just let go. Just have needs and take up space and impact other people, you guys. It's okay.
Yeah. Just have needs and share them with us.
Yeah.
just let it out here.
Just tell us. We won't meet the needs, but you can just tell us what they are.
Yeah. Chris and Sherry and Bella, I'm so sorry for your loss. And maybe you will find room in your life and in your hearts for a new animal in your house. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will be healing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe. Or just looking at pictures online. I love to watch dog and cat videos when I'm feeling down. Especially the ones where, like, the cat videos where the cats, like, try and reach the edge of the couch, but they miss and they just, like, slam into the wall and then, like, slide down. Not, like, violently, just, like,
okay,
cats being stupid or cats making mistakes. Oh, I love those.
Have you seen the video? Do you know those, like homemade squirrel catapults? Have you seen these?
Mm-mm. They catapult a squirrel?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... I didn't understand how, like, how annoying squirrels were until I became a homeowner.
Oh, they're terrible.
And, like, yeah, they're terrible. They're just like rats with puffy tails.
Yeah,
and
they're terrible.
Like, I can't have cute plants outside. Like, I can't have succulents because they will literally eat them down to the dirt. It's so weird. But I have a sick satisfaction for watching these, like, homemade squirrel catapults in people's backyards. Like, they set traps. They don't kill them. They just shoot them to the neighbor. Yeah. They'll set off this trap, and then the squirrel will go flying. I think they're fine. I think they're fine.
They're probably fine.
They just get, like, surprised, and it's fun to watch.
It sounds really fun.
If you have a really big place in your heart for squirrels, you might not like this, so don't look it up. So there's that. Okay, I do have group therapy today.
I know, so I'm watching the time.
My eye on the clock.
Yeah, I'm watching.
Let's see. What should we do next? I have a follow-up email.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up email from Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric. He says, I just listened to last week's episode. With my email that was read about the fat phobia question. DBT. Yes. We're working through a workbook that the place I'm going to created. They call it a DBT manual. Goes through various coping processes. What's DBT again?
Dialectical behavioral therapy. It's just a very, very structured way of, it's therapy, but it kind of teaches you how to relive your life in a very structured manner. So you learn new patterns and then they really hold you accountable.
Yay, science!
The DBT is great for eating disorders. That's what this was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says EMDR. You both mentioned, joked, doing an episode on it. I'm curious to hear more. The counselor I'm seeing through the eating disorder place is going to work through some brain spotting with me. I believe that some situations in my life led me to my binge eating. Using it at first as a coping mechanism and then just became second nature to eat a lot. And then as that happened, as I continued to use it as a coping mechanism, it turned into binge eating. I'm curious what the difference between EMDR and brain spotting is. The little that I know about them is that they are similar, but not.
Okay, so this says that, so let's talk about brain spotting because I've never even heard of this. But it says it's a modified form of EMDR therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That helps people access, process, and overcome trauma.
Yay, science!
The direction in which people look or gaze can help affect the, or can affect the way they feel. During brain spotting, therapists help people position their eyes in ways that enable them to target sources of negative emotion. Huh. With the aid of a pointer-trained brain spotting therapist, slowly guide the eyes of people in therapy across their field of vision to find appropriate brain spots, with a brain spot being an eye position that activates a traumatic memory or painful emotion. Practitioners believe it allows therapists to access emotions on a deeper level and target the physical effects of trauma. Hmm. That's really interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of that. So good luck with that, Eric. I hope that it is very successful and cathartic for you and that you feel supported. And
fruitful, yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about EMDR for just a minute again. I still think I could do a whole episode on EMDR. We could do a whole episode on EMDR because EMDR is literally the answer to like almost every question people ask me about what kind of therapy should I do for this. I'm usually like, oh, EMDR. EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's a kind of therapy where we speed up the processing of traumatic memories. And the reprocessing part is then clearing up old patterns, old cognitive distortions, and installing new patterns, installing new ways of thinking about yourself, of seeing yourself, and then building evidence to support those things so that you suddenly have like a new plot line in your life. You have new ways that your internal voice talks about you. So instead of going through life thinking like, I'm a piece of shit, God, which is such a common thing that comes up in EMDR therapy, we can go through and target all these old memories that are attached to that. And that thought, I'm a piece of shit, and then retrain it to and reinstall it to, I'm okay the way I am. I deserve love. People love me. I'm good enough. I deserve to be happy. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff like that. I've been doing it for.
I'm flawed just like everybody else, and that's okay.
Yep. I deserve the best. I'm okay. I love myself. I survived. Gosh, that's a big one too. Like people who've had near-death experiences and been through so much trauma. Like if you can just get that in there, the like, I survived. Sometimes it just flips a switch in people's brains and they're like, holy fuck, I survived. And then their whole life changes. I love EMDR. It is a really quick way of getting deep into a lot of things that people have avoided their whole lives. And it's been especially effective with me, with men who are like, I don't want to just sit here and talk about feeling sad to you, Sally. I think that's stupid. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I'm like, I thought that would feel that way for you. So it's very structured. It has 8 distinct phases. It has manuals. It has certifications. It has, like, there's definitely a way that you should be doing this therapy. It's not just let's go in and chit-chat, which some people love and some people hate. But Google it. There's sometimes so many good.
Sometimes I love it and sometimes I hate it.
Talking.
Yeah.
I mean.
Talking about feelings.
Same.
When I hear myself saying the same thing that I've said like a million times, then I start to hate it and the sound of my voice.
Huh. I feel like that's a good place to start.
you know, just like
I know.
Just like, I mean, I know like when you go in and you're talking to the therapist, you're like, I already know the reason why I do that. Because this and this and this, because my dad, because my mom, because
right.
You know, and you're like, I'm just like rolling my eyes like I don't want to talk about this anymore.
That's what I say to my therapist every time. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Actually, the last 2 or 3 sessions I've had, I just sobbed the whole time. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just need to do this. I just like sobbed where like the whole front of my shirt was wet because I kept lifting my shirt up to wipe my eyes and my nose. She's like, you okay?
Yeah. Sometimes I use so many Kleenex in a session and it just becomes like one giant ball of wet Kleenex.
Do you not throw it in the trash?
Not until I get up and leave because the trash can's by the door. So I don't get up. So I just kind of like hold them.
Oh, you could ask.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Closer.
Yeah, maybe.
Or now that you do it
at
home.
Can I just bring this up into my lap?
Seriously.
Can I just cry straight into the trash can? That would be greener. It would be greener, you know?
You should just bring like washcloths or towels to just like, is it,
or like,
is it your,
or like,
you it's know your how, nose, like, isn't it? It's your nose and your eyes.
Yeah,
right?
It's my eyes and my nose. Lots of snot. But you know how like horses have like a trough that they eat out of, or no, the thing that they like,
the feed bag. Like,
yeah, the feed bag. I need a cry bag. I need to like strap that to my face. Oh. It's just a cry bag.
It's like a breast cup.
Or like
you like recycle yeah. the tears.
Yeah, or like those milkies that you put on your boob when it's leaking
yeah.
milk when yeah. you're breastfeeding. You just have little tearies.
Tearies.
And put them under the eye.
What would you do with them? Would you like sell them to a much older woman could, like, and be like, they're tears of a young sell person?
I could sell my tears. Or maybe they'd be good for the plants, you know?
I don't think that kind of salt water is good for plants.
No?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, let's investigate.
Okay. I'll investigate and report back. I did want to mention something because this email from Eric reminded me of something that I listened to with Kevin on the road trip. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to recommend a different podcast because podcasts support podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I know that Dax Shepard doesn't really need my support because he's doing really, really well in the podcast world. But quiet. Okay. But his Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, episode 224 with Judd Brewer. No, stop it. I just wanna read this really quick. Okay, Judd Brewer is an American psychiatrist and neuroscientist and author. He studies the neural mechanisms of mindfulness using fMRI technology mm-hmm. and has used his findings to treat addictions. Mm-hmm. So he chats with Dax about contentment versus excitement and how meditation dissolves the sense of self and the biological reasons that humans have cravings.
Ooh.
And it's very interesting. So like, it really like taps you into like, why do I like this? Why do I crave this? And do I actually like it? Is it giving me the same satisfaction that it once did? Hmm. You know, if the certain candy or whatever like brought you a lot of satisfaction when you were younger and you just never questioned whether or not you still like it. Hmm. You just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like cake. Like you associate, like when you were a kid, like you associate cake with like birthday yeah. parties and friends and balloons and presents. And it's just like, do you get the same satisfaction now or do you just think that you do?
No, I still love
associated
it. I love it.
Yeah.
Don't take it away.
Anyway, I highly recommend that episode. I mean, I think there's a million episodes on there that are really good, but that one was extremely interesting.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I think we should do one voicemail.
Okay.
And then save the other one for the next one.
Okay.
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 Because I like them so much. I want at least one for every episode. Okay. Let's see if this will play.
Hey, Patty and Sally. I never thought I would do this, and I'm warning you, this might be a little rambly. I'm kind of emotional right now. I had one of those nights where it could be the most terrible, embarrassing night, but I think it's going to be one of those nights I look back on, and it's going to be kind of life-changing. It seems stupid and small, but I finally spoke how I feel about certain political issues to family members that I care deeply about, and I know that they feel differently. And I always felt that if I told them, they would be disappointed or they would not disown me, but just feel differently about me. And it finally came to a head. I've just been reading all the hate-filled things online and hearing some of those things echoed in my family. I just lost it. And I just finally spoke my piece. And instead of being met with anger, I was met with hugs and assurances that I'm loved no matter what. So I feel like this is a big thing for me. You've probably maybe remember me from a lot of my emails about people pleasing, and I've been trying really hard not to do that, and this was a big part of that tonight. So thank you for all of your encouragement. I know that a lot of the things that I've heard and things that you've even said directly about things that I've written in have helped me get to this point. So I appreciate it, and I'm just going to keep going from here. Thanks. Bye.
Fuck yeah. Yay! That's so awesome. Man, there's nothing better than speaking your truth and then being received fully for who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing like being known and then being accepted.
Yes. Agreed.
Yes.
And I applaud you for speaking exactly how you feel and sharing who you truly are. And I also applaud your family for accepting you for who you truly are, even though it might be different than who they are and different views than how they see the world. And that's amazing. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm so, so jazzed. I wish I could do jazz hands for you. Here's my jazz hands right now. Yay! Congratulations.
And it feels so, I'm sure, like it feels so much better than covering up or hiding, muting,
censoring.
Yeah, censoring who you really are. It just feels so much better to just be you, and even more better to be accepted.
Totally.
I think even if you're not accepted, it still feels better to just be who you are.
Yeah, it does. It does, and it feels good to be able to be who you are, like across different areas of your life. Like not having to morph from one person to the other, depending on who you're with. Mm-hmm. Like being able to just stay, be your authentic self takes so much less energy than having to like put on different personalities or different, you know, traits for different people. So.
Yeah. I feel like being public with my feelings and my thoughts has allowed me to more easily do that. Mm-hmm. Like, being on stage and speaking my truth, being on the Dwight and Patty show and speaking my truth, being here and being my true self. Because, like, I mean, not, I don't really share a bunch of stuff that I do with my family members, but I know that some family members listen, and it kind of gives them a glimpse into a world that they're not a part of. And I think it kind of bridges the gap in a way and makes it easier for me to just be who I am, because I know that they kind of already know who I am.
Yeah.
From getting that glimpse, you know?
Yeah. It's a practice, you know, like the being yourself and allowing yourself to fully show up as who you are when you're that person. Like, it's such a practice, and it takes practice. You know, like, you just have to keep doing it and keep showing up for yourself and keep showing up for yourself. And eventually, like, it really does get easier, but especially at the beginning, it's like, okay, it's a devotional practice. If I'm going to show up for myself, I'm going to show up for myself. I'm going to be who I am, even if it makes people around me uncomfortable, even if they don't like it, even if it causes conflict. I'm going to do this for myself.
Even if it makes you uncomfortable, like, I think that's a practice too. Just being uncomfortable. It's a practice for me.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. Yeah. But you can do it. You're doing a great job.
Yeah. We're all practicing together.
I like how today's, we've gotten like quite a few like follow-up people.
I love it.
I love it too. I love hearing how people are doing, but it doesn't have to be positive. Like, if you guys are hurting, you can reach out. We're here for you. Mm-hmm. But I do like hearing from.
Yeah, it feels like we're creating relationships.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
With our listeners.
Can I share my jokes, you guys?
Please.
These come today courtesy of Chloe.
Yay.
Thanks, Chloe. That's the noise my brain makes when it's trying to work. Okay, what's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb?
What?
You can unscrew a light bulb.
Oh, boy.
Chloe.
Oh, boy.
Chloe. And I like this one. What do you call a pile of kittens?
What?
A mountain.
A mountain.
A mountain.
Mountain.
It's hard for me to say that. Like, mountain.
You pronounce the ten, and I'm like, the mountain.
Oh.
meow. It's a meowton.
I do pronounce it. A meowton.
It's a meowton.
It's a meowton. We have to practice saying that. That's hard.
Oh, I love those. Those are very good.
I do too. Okay. Send us more jokes, please, so I can tell them on air and then be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all out of jokes. And you know, we could always use more emails and we could always use more voicemails. So let us know. Like, I don't know, if you've reached a new normal, if you're going crazy, if you're getting back out and moving and shaking, if you're
falling in love.
Falling in love.
Having a baby.
What?
I think a lot of people out there right now are pregnant and I'd like to know about it.
Yeah. Me too. That sounds interesting. Let's talk about it another time.
And we're going to leave it there.
If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future episode of The Feelings Club, give us a ring on the banana phone at 725-FEELING. That's 725-333-5464. Or you can use the Voice Memo app on your phone to record your question and email it to us at thefeelingsclubpodcast@gmail.com. Sally and I appreciate everyone who helps to spread the word about the show. We rely heavily on your word of mouth and reviews, tweets, and people posting about the show on Instagram. Visit our website, thefeelings.club. Sign up for our newsletter and check out Sally's blog. Follow us on Instagram at Feelings Club Podcast and Twitter at Feelings Club Pod. The Feelings Club Podcast is produced every week by Dwight Baker and me and my co-host, Sally Rumsey. Thank you for listening.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be used as a replacement for therapy or medical advice by a licensed doctor. This is not your therapy, y'all.
The Feelings Club. Invite all your friends to the Feelings Club. Come be a